from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse in for James Hamm. James is on assignment this week. We just worked out a Brandon Ingram trade during the break.
This GM stuff is so easy.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram is going to go to the Grizzlies for, let's see, who did Lizzie have? The number 9 pick, Marcus Smart, Brandon Clark, and Luke Kennard. And then throw in another future pick.
A 3-point specialist, Brandon Clark, very good. Defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart, and the number 9 pick. We're there.
Who says no?
Thank you.
I ate two things this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so the first thing, so Saturday, we spent all day. It was like 100 degrees out, and we were out all day. We're building a shed. If you've ever built a shed, it sucks. It's just, it is not a fun time. So build this shed. We're out there for like 6 hours trying to put this thing together. We got a bunch of other work to do. We finally sit down to eat. We're like, hey, it's a Taco Bell night. It's an edibles and Taco Bell night for sure. Well, I go on, can I say what? DoorDash? Can I say that?
Yeah.
Shout out to DoorDash. I go on DoorDash and I look and they have the Big Cheez-It at Taco Bell. If you're unfamiliar with the Big Cheez-It, what it is it's a Big Cheez-It. And they do one tostada style where you just get tostada stuff on a Big Cheez-It, or they put one inside a Crunchwrap Supreme.
Which one do we go with this weekend?
We went with Crunchwrap. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to get it.
I could have told you that without getting it. I could have told you that before.
I tried it. It wasn't good. It wasn't. Dude, I had ingested an edible, which means like I'm eating. Like whatever.
Yeah.
I'm snacking.
I was going to say, the fact that you ate the edible and it wasn't good is tough.
Dude, that's where that, well, and that's why I was like, hey, worst case is if it's not that good, I'll still eat it.
It's like, the worst case, like it's average.
I got halfway through and it's like, I don't, like the Crunchwrap is great. Yeah. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. This is a big Crunchwrap Supreme house.
Definitely.
I don't need a Cheez-It taste inside of it. Cheez-It's very distinct flavor. I love a Cheez-It. I am very pro Cheez-It as well. But Cheez-It plus Crunchwrap? No. It's not what I'm looking for.
All right, now that we're talking, like, Cheez-Its are pretty overrated, too, by themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, they are. They're not goldfish or anything. Cheez-Its are so overrated, actually, now that we're talking about it.
Wow. Have you ever had an extra toasty Cheez-It?
I don't think so.
That's why. I am buying a box of extra toasty Cheez-Its to bring in.
I'll try it, but...
They're great.
They're fine. It's like, it's an average...
Cheez-Its are good.
It's a mediocre snack.
You really, like, you put goldfish in a different tier than Cheez-It, though?
Goldfish are fine too, but like if I'm Cheez-Its and goldfish there, give me the goldfish.
I think that's my play too, but I'm also very pro Cheez-It.
See, I've never liked the Cheez-It enough that'll be like, oh, this would be good on a Crunchwrap.
Yeah, no. That's it. Right. So I do like Cheez-Its enough that I was like, that might be kind of fire in a Crunchwrap. Not fire. Got halfway through, was like, nope. I can't do it. So that's the first thing I tried. The second thing I had, I have not had one of these in 20 years. maybe longer. We went to
going back then.
We went to Ike's Sandwiches yesterday.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ike's. It was fine. It was good. Inside the bag were two blow pops.
Okay. Okay.
And I ate it.
Game is the game.
Throw a fleck on me. Out of here. It was great.
That's good.
I don't know why I don't know what happened in my life that made me stop consuming a lollipop with gum in it.
Social media.
Probably. The fact that it's called a blow pop. That's so crazy.
Bro, you can't even eat hot dogs anymore.
No, I know. You can't. So just...
I think I take down three glizzies.
See?
Yeah, man. I was like, this is going to suck. This is going to be one of those things that I would eat as a kid that I try again as an adult and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is for sure going to be one of those things. It's happened with a couple of cereals. And I was like, oh no. But it was great.
That's better than the Cheez-It Crunchwrap.
Way better.
Yeah.
Like, significantly. I will never order a Cheez-It Crunchwrap again.
Yeah, and Chatty House, none of you order that either.
Yeah, don't. You don't need that.
Yeah.
Anyways. Don, you're on the Insiders with Kyle and Jesse. What's up?
Hey, Kyle. Jesse, what's up? It's TC.
Oh, what's up, TC? What's up, man? That's call screen.
Nah, that's don't trip. Hey, listen, Kyle, they told you Don's my nickname, bro. You know I ain't tripping.
For sure. What do you got?
Hey, now listen, check it out. So, hey, I kind of got to disagree with you, Jesse. So, look, hey, I'm with you on the standpoint of I don't think it's going to take that much with Kuz. And I think Kuz is the move, bro, for 13 and maybe Harrison or 13 and Kevin. I'm fine with that. Also, I'm fine with it might not even, like, we might be able to keep the pick. We might, well, I don't know if we're able to keep the pick, but what I'm saying is we might be able to trade 13 and maybe future first. That's the only way I'm giving up two first-round picks. But, hold on, but if they're like, hey, we want another pick, but you can give us, like, Herder in the pick in the future, I'm not going to let that future pick hold up the trade, if that makes sense. If they're like, we're fine with taking 2028 or 2029 or whatever you want to throw them,
sure.
I'm fine with that. I just, Jesse, I'm not with, oh, we're not doing the Kuzma deal because we didn't want to give him a 2029 first-round pick. Like, that's stupid to me. I'm doing that deal just to get that guy in the building. That's the main point. It's Kings fans. Like, we want to get Kuzma in the building so we can't be like, oh, I don't want to give this up. It's not like they're yeah. saying, give us Keegan, give us sure. Harrison, give us, like, no, bro. I'm not going to let the extra first-round pick hold up that deal, if cool. that makes sense. You get me?
Thanks, TC. Appreciate the call, man. Yeah, that's...
That. I just don't think you're going to... I don't think you're gonna have to give up that pick.
Yeah, but also I'm of the mind that I'm on the Les Snead F them picks train this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're any good, a pick in 28 or 29 is gonna be a high 20s, low 20s pick.
Yeah, I guess I see that point too.
So I don't that's where I know it sounds like a lot when you go, oh, two first round picks, but if that pick is 2027, but there's an asterisk on it that might make it 29 or 30. I don't. Then fine.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not that concerned about it.
Yeah.
If you can make a move, and that's just kind of an overarching theme for me. If you can make a move to make your roster better, and you're punting your picks, just go for it.
Yeah.
Like there for you're hanging on to the picks for what?
Yeah, that's true. No, like I said, I just don't think you're gonna have to give up two first.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so either. Because I don't. Again, like I don't know what.
I'm not sure who you're gonna be bidding against too.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't think there's going to be this massive market for Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, yeah. Sir, I don't know, man. I know Dallas tried to get him at the trade deadline. I'm sure there were other teams trying to get him at the trade deadline.
But can Dallas top the 13th pick though?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the Kings are in a good spot for him.
Well, the 13th pick and expirings and stuff is not just that.
Yeah,
that pick. But I don't know, man. Quick reminder: Tom's Watch Bar. Across from Golden One Center, we will be out there for the first round of the draft. Jesse will be there. I'll be there. D'Lo and KC going to be out there. Charlie O going to be in the building. About 5 o'clock, we'll get started. We'll watch. We'll evaluate picks.
Maybe we're going to have mics
and speakers out there. There might be a trade happening. That's the thing. That's honestly why I'm there. Well, I'm there because I'm obligated to be for work. But that's what I'm most excited about, is all this stuff we've been talking about all year. In fact, you know what? I'm going to go this far. if they make any pick, I don't think there's a single player they could take where I'd be like, hell yeah. Like, there it is. That's the only way I'm going to walk out of Tom's Watch Bar excited on Wednesday is if that's it. If they've traded the pick for something substantial and not traded it for I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't think they would move it for like a non-substantial player.
I don't think so either. I mean, if they draft someone, like, I'm sure, because Monty's not a horrible drafter. Like, all the guys he's drafted so far have been NBA contributors and all that.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, like, all right, they drafted someone, we'll see what happens then at this point. But it's not like, oh, yeah, cool.
Right. It's not, and that's an important distinction, is it's not like, oh, man, what a failure, fire everybody, this player sucks. Like, maybe that player will be a contributor, and that's great. But it's your... the excitement level of Jacoby Walter versus, yeah, hey, they made this move and they got out of a couple of contracts and they traded the 13th pick and, hey, Kyle Kuzma is going to be here. Like, man, that's nuts. That's your starting four.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a huge deal versus, oh, hey, they made a draft pick who, if they're like super duper lucky, will be their seventh guy.
Yeah, that's tough.
That just doesn't
move the needle for me.
No, it doesn't. By the way, real quick, the player I'm out on, Johnny Furphy from Kansas.
Yeah.
Australian kid from Kansas.
Yeah, I'm a big, like, you need strong names. I'm big on names and all that. I'm not big on Furphy.
No, and this is no disrespect. ESPN's Jonathan Givony. Givony?
Givony.
Givony. He has the Kings drafting Ron Holland in his mock. And then he said, older players such as Jacoby Walter, he's from Baylor, Devin Carter from Providence, and Johnny Furphy are also said to be getting some consideration with this pick. I'm out on Johnny Furphy. Solely for his name.
Yeah, that, and we looked at his numbers earlier, and they weren't before the show. They weren't great.
Yeah, he's like 9 and 5.5 and 1.
Solid glue guy.
It's like 35% from 3, 76.5%, I think, from the free throw line.
Yeah.
He's 6'9". That's helpful.
Sweet.
But that's a bad name. That's a bad name.
Yeah. I'm out too.
All right.
That's all it takes. We're not a Johnny Furphy show here on the inside.
For what it's worth, I'd be out on Sam Hauser too. Bad name.
Whatever, man.
Drew Holiday, good name.
It's a solid name right there.
Really good name.
Yeah.
Honestly, Derek White, I'm on the fence.
But he's bald.
Bald Derek White.
He's a bald
guy,
though. Yeah.
That was such a huge win for the bald community.
Yeah.
Derek White. Shaving his head.
Which is the fact that he shaved and boom, title instantly.
Title. Yeah. Admit that right away. Didn't even have to wait. Massive W. All right. We'll keep talking Kings. We'll keep talking draft. We'll keep talking NBA offseason. We've got good idea or bad idea coming up next as well. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse in for James on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're trying to trade Keegan Murray at the break.
No, don't do that. We'll get yelled at. Don't do that. No, we're not.
No, we definitely weren't. What we were saying at the break, and we'll get to good idea, bad idea here in a second, but what we were saying at the break is somebody in the chatty house said, De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis and Malik Monk are the only untouchables right now for the Kings. And I said, I think I agree with this, with the caveat that if Keegan is on the table in a trade, it has to be for like a franchise-altering type of move.
Yeah.
Where you're getting an all-NBA guy back. So that deal is currently not out there. So
Keegan Murray, you're with us.
He's on the table, but like...
He's on the edge.
He's right. I mean,
no elbows on the table type stuff.
Not on the table, but he's on the table.
He's not at the kids' table. We'll say that. He's with us.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I don't think Keegan's sticking around because Jaylen Brown is not going to become available.
Get those shots up, Keegan.
Although I did say all NBA guy, which Jaylen Brown is not. So
I guess so. Yeah. So we wouldn't do it.
Like. Eastern Conference Finals MVP, Finals MVP, nothing. Like,
Wait, where's your name on this list?
Yeah, it's not there.
No, you're not Tyrese Halliburton.
Stop. Good idea or bad idea? We do this every single day, taking three things happening in the news, and we decide if that thing is a good idea or a bad idea. Number one, Jesse. Mets closer Edwin Diaz was ejected before throwing a pitch in yesterday's game. He has been suspended for 10 games for having a sticky substance on his hand. Good idea or bad idea for pitchers to try and still skirt the sticky substance rules?
Yeah, I'm going to go bad idea. Like, what are you thinking at this point? Like, it's just, we played it out on Twitter and all that. It's been this massive thing, sticky substances or whatever, these pitchers and all that, and you're still doing it now, years after. I'm not sure what kind of big brain plan he had. It was like, yeah, I'm not going to get caught. Like, they literally got you before you even pitched.
Yeah, man, that's, I understand why pitchers do it. Like, I get the goal, and if, especially a guy coming off an injury, it's like, yeah, just need that little advantage, whatever you can get, I get it.
Maybe bad idea on the planning then?
No, it's a bad, there's nothing you're going to be able to do that, they're watching for it. It used to be you had to do something super egregious. Mm-hmm. But now it's like you go to your belt a couple of times, you go to the back of your neck a couple of times, behind your ear, wherever, inside your gloves, certainly they're going to be testing it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just a bad idea. You just shouldn't do it at all.
Yeah, you're going to get suspended for 10 games.
Like you said, they're just looking for it at this point.
Yeah, so.
Edwin Diaz is.
I get why they want to do it, but come on, man.
We're far past the whole trumpets thing with Edwin Diaz. Remember
that?
That
had a moment. Yeah, that was a nice moment, for sure. And
now it's just kind of been downhill.
Hey, tore his ACL and
that was tough.
All that. But
now this.
And he's on the Mets.
Yeah. The Mets are the ultimate bad luck, I think, and bad luck type team in sports.
Yeah. Number two. The Wizards, talked about this earlier, are hiring former Pistons GM Troy Weaver to a front office role.
This is why I think the Wizards are going to be in the NBA Finals this year. That's horrible. What are you guys doing?
I don't get it.
How do you look at what Detroit has done over the last few years? You know what we need? We need Troy Weaver.
We need Detroit.
Yeah, the only team that's been worse than us, we need their guy.
Maybe there's something. I know he has a wealth of NBA experience, and maybe that's what they want in their front office. But I can't. And if they're turning to him and going, "Hey, what did you do? We loved the vision in Detroit." Then yeah, you're trading Kyle Kuzma. You're probably trying to trade Jordan Poole, and you're just going to start, or maybe you're keeping Jordan Poole, and then you're just going to start trying stacking up guys like Chris Duarte, former draft picks that didn't work out. Yeah, maybe they'll work out here. I just don't.
This is just kind of like par for the course what the Wizards have been over their entire existence.
Yeah, and maybe the maybe we're overdoing this. Maybe his role is going to be very small. It's going to be like an advisor to some lower level front office guy who's not. Maybe it's that.
No, I'm overreacting to it.
But yeah, that's just it. Is the optics are so bad.
Yeah.
That's bad idea.
It's like I said, the Wizards.
Bad idea by the Wiz.
Wizards have never been good in their existence. Like maybe a odd playoff appearance here and there, but they've never just.
They had the John Wall, Bradley Beal era.
That era was a
John Wall jumped
appearance.
On the scorers table?
Yeah.
Remember that?
That was awesome. Great.
Isn't that against Boston?
Yeah. I think they wore black suits to game 7 and lost to Kelly Olynyk. Yeah. Shout out to the Wizards.
That's really tough. Yeah, bad idea by the Wiz. Number three, Kenny Atkinson is the new Cavaliers head coach. Good or bad idea by the Cavs?
Good idea, because I think that means they'll sign Donovan Mitchell to an extension.
Yeah, he's got history with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. And I think that you had to go get a coach with some kind of experience. Mm. And I think if you're looking at the Warriors bench, you're going, hey, Mike Brown's done a nice job putting the Kings together.
Coach of the year, literally the first season.
Coach of the year, first season. And taking pieces that you know what, weren't really being maximized and maximized those pieces that they had. I think you're looking at Kenny Atkinson and hoping he can do the same thing.
Yeah, Cleveland's a team to watch out for too, because I think if they sign Donovan Mitchell, Garland's on his way out of there this summer.
It feels like
they're going to be making some moves. I think they won't look how they did last year. Not to the point where they're going to take some steps back, but I think they'll definitely go for it this year. They're kind of in the same, I don't want to say tier, but the same kind of area as the Kings right now, where it's you're kind of at a crossroads where what you're doing is not necessarily working the best. You probably are going to have to make a move to kind of shake things up a bit.
Yeah, I think if you're hiring Kenny Atkinson, it's because he has a plan for Evan Mobley and Jared Allen and Donovan Mitchell, where you feel more confident that he's going to maximize those guys in a way that Jimmy Bickerstaff just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kenny Atkins is a good coach.
Yeah, I think he's a good.
I don't know if he's gonna go win him the finals or anything crazy, but
it's not JJ Redick.
Yeah, if you were gonna move on, you had to do something that wasn't a podcaster.
Yeah,
and that's good on the Cavs. And the other thing is they did their due diligence on this too.
Oh yeah, they took a while.
Yeah. So shout out to Kenny Atkinson. Congratulations. He's the new head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I like the hire. I don't know if the Cavs are going to be a factor in the East, but
there's not. Yeah, they won't be. I don't think they won't be. The Knicks are a team. I think they can be. The Knicks are the team that could challenge.
They can be a factor in the East.
They can be a factor.
Yeah, I don't. Look, here's, and this is what a bunch of people said after the finals, because I made some comment about on Twitter about how if Boston goes on to win like three of the next five titles, that the 2022 finals in the annals of NBA history is going to look weird, because in the context of that season, the Warriors were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they went and they won a championship. It wasn't that insane to happen at the time. But I think looking down the road, if you're looking at Boston and let's say they win three of the next six or three of the next five, so they win four in 6 years, mm-hmm. and have this dynasty, and wow, look at them go. 15, 20 years down the road, we're going to look at the 2022 finals. We're going to go, wait, the Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum dynasty Celtics lost to 34-year-old Steph Curry, Andrew Wiggins.
It'll go from because
Jordan Poole. It's going to look crazy.
Well, yeah, because the conversation coming out of it is like Tatum didn't play well enough. Like, we know what happened. We saw what happened. But yeah. I feel like you said, going forward 20 years from now, I'll be like, oh, yeah, Celtics should have got that one too. They should have had five, honestly.
Yeah, and then
the reality is like, nah, not really, but.
Right, and if Jordan Poole's career keeps going the way it's going and Andrew Wiggins' career goes the way that it has been going, it's like those two guys were key contributors to a championship team that was led by a 34-year-old? What a weird thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I said that. And people were like, oh, everyone always thinks after a team wins the finals that they're going to win the next five. But look at what happened with Denver. And it's like, no, totally. Totally. James and I talked about into the Minnesota series. Like, oh, Denver's just inevitable. And then they end up losing in game seven in the fashion that they did, where they blew like a 20-point lead. But I think the West is so much different than the East. And I don't know that there's a move anybody's making in the East, or if there's anybody like up and coming in the East that you look at and go, oh, they're a definite threat for sure.
Does Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Maxey do anything for you?
Maybe. I gotta see what the rest of the team looks like.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, though. Like, all those teams in the East, they're all just moves that haven't happened yet away.
Yeah, and maybe Julius Randle comes back for the Knicks and fundamentally changes their ability to put the ball in the basket and they can overcome some injuries or whatever. Maybe the Knicks, there's talk of the Knicks going and getting Paul George instead. Maybe that's the move. But I don't know who's challenging them. Like seriously giving them a run.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe the Bucks have another move in them.
Maybe they got to figure out some things there.
They got a lot to figure out. So I don't know, man. I think Boston's going to rattle off a bunch of Eastern Conference finals.
I hope so.
Are you still in that like afterglow of the title?
Yeah, it's just kind of sick because now you just open up Twitter and it's like, oh, Celtics won the title.
Yeah, I remember.
Like, that's literally all it is.
I remember after 2015, I was driving. I was actually listening to 95.7. I was listening to Damon Bruce, and he was like, "If you're a Warriors fan, you just get to say NBA champion. What like it's that's yours now."
Yeah, no, like man, literally, if I want to watch any of the finals, I just turn on NBA TV and it's on.
Because like, how old were you in 09, 08?
08, like 11, 12, probably 11 going to 12, something like
so
that.
So you remembered, but you didn't get to like...
I was like a kid, like I love the Celtics, but it's not like this, where it's like you just know everything going
right,
on.
Right, you're
everything.
Living and dying with it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's so tight.
Yeah.
I was happy for you and like
appreciate
one other person.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun week.
did you, oh, here's a question. Did you buy the like hat and shirt and stuff?
No, I don't buy that stuff.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Why?
I don't know. Like that's just like I don't know. Like, cause look, I got a black tee on. Like, I wear black and white tees only. Like, I just don't buy clothes like that, or I just don't buy stuff like that. I'm very minimalist when it comes to like what I wear and what I buy and stuff.
That tracks. But even yeah. you, nah, so, you're not gonna wear any.
I wouldn't even do that now.
If I got you a Celtics championship shirt, would you wear it?
Yeah, yeah. I love gifts and all that. Like, I'm always appreciative of that. Okay. But like, for myself and stuff, I won't like go out and buy stuff. Yeah.
Dude, that was my first order of business.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I got to go to work, and then I'm stopping at a sporting goods store, kicking that door down.
I get it.
Anyways, that's Jesse. I'm Kyle. James Hamm out on assignment. I have a Kings roster question when we come back, and we'll save the NFL quarterback
that's contract thing
until. All right, let's talk some more Kings offseason next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Tapatio.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, garlic salt on eggs is nuts.
Yeah, who does
that's
that? Who's
crazy.
That?
Oh,
Curtis.
Take that's a lap, a lot.
Curtis. Take a lap.
Garlic and, ooh.
Yeah, take a lap. Touch the fence and back.
That's Jesse. I'm Kyle. Jesse in for James. James is out this week. Your no salt on eggs thing's really got the internet.
That's really carried on.
Dude, I'm telling you, this is something I tell people all the time. Nothing gets people more engaged than food.
Yeah.
Like food conversations.
We all love it.
It's unbelievable. Your salt eggs, Jesse said it was weird that people put salt on their eggs. And that just like took off. Kenny not using his bread to mop up pasta sauce?
I feel like he's not being efficient there.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Like, that's literally how it's supposed to happen. That's why there's bread on the table. That's what it's
is that,
for.
Is that literally why?
Yeah.
Is that true? I didn't know that. Yes. That was just a side of bread just to keep you happy and stuff like that.
No.
All right.
Like, that's what we've turned it into. But no, it's on the table for the pasta sauce.
Yeah.
So you ever seen The Godfather?
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay. That's fine. No, there's a scene in there where I don't want to say characters' names because I've only seen it once, so I don't know. Mm. But one of the characters is making pasta sauce, the other one walks in, takes a piece of bread, dunks it in pasta sauce, and he's like, that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And that just got a huge debate on the internet.
See, I feel like that's worse than not putting salt on your eggs. Like not doing the pasta. The
yeah, because I don't, sauce. Look, I don't put salt on my eggs. Mm-hmm. I might do a little, but I'm trying to lower, but that's just that's a health-related thing. Putting salt on eggs is like how you do eggs. It's not weird to do it. It's not putting chocolate sauce on your eggs. That would be weird. It's not putting garlic powder on your eggs. Some would say putting,
yes, yes. That, yeah, you know what? Yeah, Curtis. That was tough.
You're a Celtics fan.
Allegedly.
We've talked about this per sources. Every time a team wins a title, there's this like jump to, hey, how did they build this team? And how can every other team follow that model? And I think the way the Kings would do it, all right, or not the way they could do it, but if you're trying to paint the same picture here with the Kings and Celtics, it's Derek White, it's Kristaps Porzingis, it's Drew Holiday. These like, I'm going to call them role players, but I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. It's just they're not. It's Jason Tatum, yeah, Jaylen Brown, guys, yeah. and then the next tier of guy. I think the problem with this is that doesn't just happen. I don't think you can replicate this. I saw on The Ringer, someone wrote an article. It might have been Kevin O'Connor, wrote a whole article about like the 10 players who could be this year's Derek White or whatever it was. It's like, I don't think that can happen. They just so specifically fit with how the Celtics played. And then you had Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who were so uniquely suited to be a distributor like Tatum is, to be a scorer, to rebound, to switch everything defensively and play multiple positions. I just don't think you can look at the Celtics and go, hey, yeah, this is a way that every team should model their team building, because that's really, really hard.
Well, I'll kind of not push back against you necessarily, but maybe like,
please,
whoever's saying like that, like whatever, like as far as like saying like, oh yeah, like get a Derek White and a Kristaps Porzingis and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when they traded for those guys, I don't think it was like Derek White, like that was fine and all that. But like when they traded for Kristaps and all that, like I wasn't something where it was like, oh yeah, like look at the Celtics making mm-hmm. these moves. No, you traded for a guy who's injured all the time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, oh, the Celtics are kind of falling back. This might be the move where it's like, if it doesn't work, you're done.
Yeah.
So I think it's a matter of like, the Kings, like teams like the Kings can do that, but you're going to have to take risks where on the surface when it does happen, it's not going to look great, I don't think. Because like the Celtics traded for Al Horford too and all that. And he was sure. buried on the bench for OKC. Mm-hmm. He was pretty much written off and all that. At the yeah. time, it didn't look great and all that, but like look how it turned out. I think sure. it's a matter of taking risks on those guys who maybe don't have the best, I don't know if that's the right word, but impression about them at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of taking chances, I think.
The other thing I come back to is like, no, it's still Denver. Like Denver, I think, is still more the ideal if you're Sacramento.
What about Dallas?
No.
No?
I don't think Dallas plays either. I don't think Dallas is going back to the finals.
I don't know if they're going back, but I think they'll be around now.
Maybe.
Because I'm not sure, like, because the Nuggets, they signed Aaron Gordon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to do that if you're the Kings. You're going to have to just trade for you guys. You're going to have to trade for the guys like Kenny says with warts.
No, no doubt. But I think if you're just trying to like go player for player, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think Boston's so difficult to replicate. Because you have Jason Tatum, who's just a perennial MVP candidate who can just play center, but also switch out and guard a point guard. And he's this really good distributor. And then Jaylen Brown has gotten better as a playmaker. He can knock down a three. He can defend everything. Derek White and Drew Holiday, the two best perimeter defenders in the league, arguably. Like, that's a really, really hard thing.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
But if you go, yeah, hey, can Kyle Kuzma be an Aaron Gordon type of player? Sure. Like, maybe not bar for bar same player, but that kind of vein, yeah, sure, why not? Can Keon Ellis be Kentavious Caldwell-Pope? Like, yeah, why not? I think that's where... I know the Nuggets fell short this year, but I think they are much more likely to be around than Dallas.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
and so that's why
they're more well built. I'm around the roster.
If you're if you're trying to replicate what the Celtics did team building wise, I think it's more just the continuity that matters and sticking with the Tatum and Brown duo through the ups and the downs and going, hey, this is going to work. I think that's what you can take from that. But I think trying to replicate their team building, I don't think you can do that. Whether you're the Kings or anybody.
Well, because the Kings are also starting at a different spot, too. Like, it's not just a matter of, like, because, like, when Tatum and Brown came in, like, they were taking them to the conference finals every year, it seemed, or whatever. Like, the Kings just figured it out. De'Aaron Fox had been in the league for about 4 years or whatever. Now we just got to the point where we figured it out, like, the last 2 years and stuff. So I feel like their timeline is kind of different, where maybe the continuity argument or whatever you want to call it, just, I don't want to say, like, blow things up or anything like that, but it's more so, like, it's more sped up at this point than something like that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
the Nuggets waited 8 years. Sure.
Yeah, there's more urgency is what I'm saying. Like, the Nuggets were able to wait 7-8 years or however long it was. Celtics waited 6-7 years too, but the Kings, I don't think they can wait that long.
And that's, and well, okay, so that is why everything comes back to, you got to go get a Brandon Ingram, a Kyle Kuzma. You have to go get a proven NBA player who's like been in big spots and can go get you a bucket and can rebound and play some defense. Like, that's why that player matters so much. But I think when you look at what the Nuggets were able to do and put together, that's the thing I think the Kings could replicate most efficiently and quickly.
Yeah, that's fair, because I don't think, other than like Murray or whatever you think of Murray and Jokic or whatever, like Aaron Gordon, those other guys aren't like, wow, like these elite.
Yeah, they're good role players.
They're good role players, yeah.
And that's the kind of, that's who I think, because even when we talk about, when they traded for Domantas Sabonis, it's like, hey, here's this guy is like a, could go get you a triple-double type of player. Like, this is a good player. And he has evolved, and he's become back-to-back All-NBA selection, and he's leading the league in rebounding, and he's putting up the most double-doubles, and he's just kind of developed into this monster. I don't know that there's another star to go get. And that's where...
Well, at least you don't have the assets for that.
Yeah. That's what I mean. So if you're of the mind that the Kings need a star, I don't know that move is out there.
Yeah.
And that's why I shift my focus back to Denver when I go, what can the Kings do here? Can they make this look like this? And I think they can. But I don't know that. This is what I'm trying to say. Is Kyle Kuzma a star to you?
No.
Okay. And that's a player that we've talked about, is like, man, if you're ranking players the Kings could go get, that's the guy.
Yeah.
And that to me is why you're now turning and looking at what Denver did and how they built a team. You go, hey, that's kind of the best thing you can replicate, because Sabonis is not as good as Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic is the best player in the world.
One of the greatest
players ever. Yeah, he's on track to be a top like 10 or 15 guy ever. If he's not already there, depending on your list. But I think De'Aaron Fox, pound for pound, is better than Jamal Murray.
Yeah, I'll take that 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, so you're just, it's like, okay, hey, there's the start. And that's where I think this offseason, that's why this is so important, and why when we talk about, yeah, hey, picks and trading picks, and it's like, that's why.
Yeah, because I do think...
There's a team they can replicate. There's a roster build they can replicate. But they're not going to be able to do it with the dudes they have.
Yeah, because I think for the impact that Aaron Gordon has on Denver, like, Kuzma could have that type of impact here on Sacramento, I think.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's not a star, but like, he's just an elite role player.
And I think he'd be different for sure, because their skill sets are different. But could he have that type of impact where...
Just on winning
I don't think
that.
I don't know if he can be that good of a defender as Aaron Gordon is, but can he score more to make up for it? Can Keegan Murray maybe be that defender where you're kind of recreating... a Michael Porter Jr. / Aaron Gordon in the aggregate between Keegan Murray and between Kyle Kuzma, then yeah, sure. And then I think you get close. And yeah, man, I go ahead.
After Kuzma, what's, like, say they do make that move, whether it's Ingram or Kuzma or whatever on Wednesday, like, what is it? And now we're just waiting for Fox, Sabonis, and like Kuzma. Like, I guess Monk, throw him in there, and Keegan too. Like, to develop into that championship core. Or like, you shaping up.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
Like that. All right.
That's the other thing with this is, like, De'Aaron Fox is 27. Domantas Sabonis 28.
Yeah.
You're in the window. You got to go do stuff now, and so Yeah, man. If it's Kyle Kuzma, that's what you're. We already know that Malik Monk is the guy they're moving forward with. Uh-huh. And if you go get Kyle Kuzma, well, now at least, at the very, very least, you're a playoff team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe you get the right matchups and maybe you get in. I think the West showed us this year that getting into the tournament is just the most important thing because so much of it was matchups based. Did anyone think that Dallas was going to go make a run like they made?
I don't want to be that guy, but yeah, I did think they could make a run into the conference finals. Hey, there's audio on D'Lo and KC. Yeah, there's audio, but yeah. No, I did think like they were good enough, but I didn't think they were going to get to the finals the way they did. I mean, because they did handle the Thunder and all that. The Timberwolves in five games. I didn't think they were going to do all that.
Yeah, but the Timberwolves beating Denver. Mm. I don't think Dallas is beating Denver. If Denver holds on to their 20-point lead, I think they go to the finals and they play the Celtics.
Yeah.
And so that's the other important part of this when we talk about trying to build a championship caliber team. Chances are the roster going into the regular season on the surface is probably not going to look like Boston.
Uh-huh.
And it might not even look like Denver. But can you get there over the course of the season where all of a sudden these pieces start to fall into place? And yeah, hey, you know what? Keon Ellis is a big time contributor. Hey, you know what? Harrison Barnes is a better addition off the bench. Yeah, that allows Trey Lyles to be more productive in A, B, and C ways. I think that's got to be the goal here this offseason. I don't know that there's a move or a series of moves out there that's uh-huh. going to make us look on paper and be like, wow, this is a team that's ready. They're picking the Kings to win the title.
Yeah, I think if it is Kuzma or whoever, I feel pretty comfortable with the Kings would have. I'm pretty high on like what De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis can do as far as like. Heights they can take him. Like De'Aaron Fox, I feel like he was an all NBA this season or whatever, but he's an all NBA type player.
He can go
out and get you 29 a game if he needed 28.
Yeah, they have look, and if the Kings, the conversation would be a lot different if they didn't have that established core already.
Mm-hmm.
But they do. They don't need to go get, and we'll get to Kenny Caraway here in a bit for the handoff, but they don't need to go get. It's weird seeing you without a hat on. I don't like it one bit. They don't need they got the hard part out of the way.
Yep.
Like you have your two all NBA guys. Okay, great. And like you said, Fox is an all NBA caliber guy, whether he gets in on a given year or not.
Mm.
TBD. But your two all NBA caliber guys, now you got to go build around them. And that's what all of this is now. And if you're of the mind, if you're in the Kings front office and you're of the mind, they're like, yeah, hey, you know what? We don't actually have our two guys that we're building around. Well, then you have a massive problem.
Yeah.
But it's clear they think so. And that's kind of how they've got to move forward. Let's go ahead and mute Kenny and get him in here for the handoff. Kenny Caraway, D'Lo, and KC coming up at noon. They'll take you up to 4 o'clock. There he is. Kenny Caraway, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Not much. Busy day, busy weekend. I got a lot going on, man, but it's all good.
You know, oh, this is weird. You're not wearing a hat.
No hat today, man. Sometimes, you know, I just let the baldy rock.
He's
got
to pop out and show him.
He's just got to pop out and show him. Sometimes show him I ain't got no hair.
You don't ever go no hat, Kyle?
No. God, no.
I mean, obviously, as you talk about it, probably 90% of the time I have a hat on, but... sometimes with some outfits at some occasions, you know, you can't rock that. Although I'm about to start getting into the fedora bag. You know what I mean?
Okay. I like that for you.
I'm about to start getting into that bag, but that's something I got to work on.
Are you talking fedora like the ham wears or like the wider brim ones?
Maybe both.
Okay.
Maybe both. I'm not opposed to either one of them, but I'm traditionally speaking more of the wider brim joints.
Yes. Yeah, that's my wine tasting go-to.
Mm.
I have a brown one and a white one.
Okay.
That'll rock sometimes. Yeah, if it's like a wedding, I'll go no hat for sure. I'm not one of those like, oh, I need to wear a fitted at my wedding. It's not. No. It's not like that. But if I've never come to work without a hat on.
Yeah.
That'd be wild to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think, you're right. I mean, you would know more than.
Did you just decide?
I was trying to think of like, nah, man, I saw you one time.
No, dude. I can't remember. You have not. I promise. I didn't. The Christmas party this year, I didn't wear a hat.
Mm.
But that doesn't count. That doesn't count.
No, I'm not going to qualify that as show time or work time.
So what were we talking about when you came in here?
Mm.
One of the things that always happens after a team wins a title is you look at, hey, how did that team build their roster and how can you replicate that? And hey, this is going to be the new standard. I think the Celtics just kind of set a standard that you can't that is not that achievable. Just because they had so many guys who were just perfect in the roles that they needed them for.
Yeah.
On top of having Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown.
At Last Chance U at Independence Community College. Yeah. Jason Brown, he was
Jalen Tatum boy. As well. Now Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum, but I go back to the Nuggets because Denver is the team that last year and everybody, it's super easy to go, well, okay, Jokic and Sabonis, that's a match, and Fox and Murray, okay, that's your match there. And then we talked a lot about Kyle Kuzma today. And could Kyle Kuzma and Keegan Murray just kind of in the aggregate give them what the Nuggets get out of Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr.? Because, and then can Keon Ellis be
KCP?
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
KCP or Bruce Brown.
Can Malik Monk be that Bruce Brown type of scoring punch? But I think Malik Monk's a better player than Bruce Brown for me. But that's where, because every time we bring up Kyle Kuzma, I'm kind of like, man, is that it? But then the more we started talking about it, it's kind of like, hey, I kind of see the vision here. And I see where this can work out.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's going to be a version of the Kings offseason that has me looking on paper going, wow, this is a title contender right now. But I didn't think that about Dallas going to the playoffs. I didn't think Minnesota was going to make the kind of run that they made. And so can you be in the conversation? Can you get into the tournament? And Kyle Kuzma definitely gets him there. And that made me feel a little better.
Well, like to what you guys were discussing before, like Kyle Kuzma, if you look at Aaron Gordon and be like, he's a better player than Kyle Kuzma, I'm not going to argue with you. You know, I'm not even necessarily going to disagree with you. But I always use like the 2K analogy to it. It's not like Kuzma's a 77 and Aaron Gordon's a 94. Right? Aaron Gordon's probably, if he's better, he's like an 88 and Kuzma's like a 85 or something.
Sure.
Like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like Kuzma can be that aspect of it. You look at the Bruce Browns, the Michael Porter Juniors, the KCPs, Keegan, Malik, they can all be around there. You guys said it perfectly. The hard part is finding the two guys that you think are all NBA caliber players. And the Kings have found that. And then there's, a question mark of whether we've seen the best of Keegan Murray. Maybe he's got a whole another level to get to and what that does for your franchise as well. So I think to your guys' point, building or looking at Denver, or I was about to say Dallas, even Dallas, what they were able to do to get to that point makes it more conceivable. Be like, yeah, we can, you can build to that point. And Kyle Kuzma, as an example, can be a guy that can get you to that point. I'm of the belief Zach LaVine could get you to that point as well. But I'm a one-man wolf pack with
that. Zach LaVine was scaring the hell out of me, bro, for like a month.
I don't think it's
he's a good.
Does he still scare you with Malik here?
Yeah. He just doesn't play enough anymore.
Hoops Hype reported
Kuzma probably plays more.
Kyle Kuzma didn't play that much last year.
Played 70 games.
He played 70 last year?
Uh-huh.
What about the year before? That was the year
68?
He was injured?
68.
And the year before that?
He went, 70, 64, 66, 68 in 2021, 61 in the pandemic year.
Yeah.
70 before that.
I think that's more than Zach LaVine. But yeah.
When Monk came back.
When it's closer to Zach LaVine than people realize.
Yeah, he's had some injury stuff for sure. Yeah. That to me is why, in a vacuum, Brandon Ingram, I think, is better than Kyle Kuzma. But when we were talking about this earlier, when you start putting assets in, what's it going to take to get them? How much are you going to have to pay that guy over the next 3 or 4 years? That's why Kuzma, to me, is just the best option.
Yeah. I mean, the new metric with games played is, can he be eligible for awards? Right?
Like,
if he can get to 65.
Is he an awards guy or not?
Not going to win any, but he played 65. Yeah,
exactly. But he's eligible.
Nowhere close.
Yeah, he's not going to be there, but yeah.
So what happens if they don't get either of those guys?
I think they're still a playoff team. Or any, right, you mean just right, any of those guys on, or anybody
right,
in general?
No, because you and I differ on this. You think running it back, they're a playoff team. They make no changes. You're like, they're making the playoffs.
I think
they
have that ceiling.
I don't think so.
I think they're a play-in team who has an opportunity to get into the playoffs. Like, I think playoff teams, like, yeah, they're top six team and all that. I think if they were to run this back with a new draft pick, I wouldn't say they're top six for sure.
Nah.
The draft pick is interesting.
The thing that there's kind of an intangible element to this that makes me think that, though, beyond just like the basketball. I think if they walked into that gym with the exact same team, I think the vibes would be so bad.
Mm.
Because I already think that was a problem this year. Huh. Is De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk and Domantas Sabonis are out there busting their ass, and they're looking down the bench. It's like, these dudes again?
It was a lot of like four guys doing it last year for them, I feel like. Like, yeah, with the Kings. Like, if they were winning ball games, like, because Monk, it was either Monk, Fox, Sabonis, or Keegan went off that day, but they weren't necessarily getting much from anyone else.
It felt like we did a lot of complaining about the same guys.
Yeah.
Two things. And when are we out of here? Because I don't want to get in trouble.
56.
It's always bad when I'm in here, is what they say. But
no, it's not true. Let the record show that Damian has been the one the last couple times going over the time. We got 2 minutes.
So two things. The draft pick, that's something that I even overlook, right? Like, as a run it back type thing, like, you're either going to run it back with a draft pick or you're making a trade and getting people. So if you run it back, you're adding a draft pick. And what if, I'm just throwing it out there, what if the draft pick has the season that Keegan Murray had his rookie year? They're still not a playoff team?
That'd be crazy. No, if you're adding Keegan Murray, then yeah, sure.
That's what I'm like, you got to kind of factor that in, though, like, because they're running it back with the draft pick, and they're adding, there's a possibility they're adding a guy that could average 12 points a night.
I see that, but it's also like Keegan was the fourth pick, so we were like expecting, I don't think you can expect much from the rookie going into it.
And it's not, because basically what we're doing is we're talking about like vibes and hypotheticals and how we'd feel going into the year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be optimistic and be like, yeah, hey, the 13th pick in this draft that everybody talked about how terrible it was is just going to be Keegan Murray, then yeah, sure.
Yeah. Like, well, 1,000%. What if he's Kobe?
Yeah, right. But
Kobe was 13.
But what if he's Yorgos Papianis?
Oh, no.
Like, that wasn't very nice.
Well, no, but then, come on. But that's kind of, I mean, a draft pick could go either which way.
Mm-hmm. True, very
true. And
I don't
know whether that player is going to be a Hall of Famer or a bench guy or out of the league in 2 years. It's just TBD.
Yeah. The other thing real quick, and we're going to discuss this on the show a little bit because I had a thought about it. I don't know. Malik Monk was told something.
Like, as far as the money you can get? Like, what do you
mean? Yeah.
He was kinda told something.
Yeah, no.
About the
roster building.
He didn't just sign up for the same role with the same roster.
I agree.
I don't know what that is, and I'm just kind of hypothesizing, but we'll talk about it.
I can't wait to hear you guys talk about that on D'Lo and Casey. That's coming up next. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We've been The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.